A beam of light can travel around the world 7 times in the tick of a watch. The astronauts travel much slower, but I'll be back with the amazing facts about space travelers who move faster than light. Hello, this is Joe Cruz and the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. You know, friends, light travels at 186,000 miles per second. It takes light 8 minutes to travel from the sun to us, a distance of 93 million miles. Light from the nearest star travels at that same immense speed, and it takes 4.5 years to reach this Earth. So think of it another way now. Light can travel around this world 7.5 times in just 1 second. Now, I can hear somebody saying, my, that's faster than anybody's ever traveled or ever will be able to travel. But wait just a minute, friend. Is that really true? Now, I know that no human being ever passed through space that fast. But did you know that visitors have come from outer space to this Earth in much less time than that? They have traveled faster even than a ray of light. Now, don't go away before I can explain that statement. It's really true. Angels can travel faster than light, and they're beings from another world, and they visited this world over and over again. Now we're going to prove all those statements during the next few minutes, but let me read about the speed of angels first in Daniel 9, verse 2. The prophet Daniel is speaking, "Yea, whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation." Now Daniel had been praying for a little over 2 minutes when the angel Gabriel appeared in answer to his prayer. And Gabriel says that he was asked to fly swiftly from heaven to Daniel. Now, what a comfort this should bring to God's children, friends, to know that the angels of heaven can outdistance the speed of light itself in rushing to the aid of one of God's humble children. Why don't we trust God more? But who are these speedy messengers of light that visit this earth and answer to men's prayers? This subject of angels has been grossly misunderstood and distorted, friends. There are some who believe that when good people die, especially saintly mothers or little children, that they become angels. If you believe that, you're going to be amazed at what the Bible says about it. This idea is far from the truth of it. To begin with, angels are a created order of beings higher than that of men. When Adam and Eve were created, they were made a little lower, we're told, than the angels. I read from Hebrews 2, verse 7, "Thou madest him a little lower than the angels." Now here it gives us a clue to this whole study today, and that is that angels are a higher form of life than men. In another place it says that Christ took on himself the form of man and became a little lower than the angels. He was willing to become lower than the angels that he might redeem man. In Hebrews 2:9 we're told, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." Now that is to say, when Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, and when he took upon his divinity humanity, when he took our flesh, he was made lower than the angels. We need to recognize that in God's creation there are various levels of creatures, and humans are not the highest order. In fact, angels were created by God in the vast eternity of the past. We don't know just when, and they certainly possess powers that no member of the human family can demonstrate. And no human being has ever been or ever will be an angel. They came into existence before Adam and Eve were created, and long before the first man died, God posted angels to guard the gates of the Garden of Eden. In fact, here's the account of it given in the Bible of Genesis 3:24. "So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims, and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." Yes, Adam and Eve were living at this time, and there had been no deaths in the human family, and yet there were the angels, cherubim, and God placed them to guard the way of the tree of life, lest sinful Adam and Eve should eat of it and live forever. Job has something to say about that also. He says, "Where where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding, when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Job 38:4 and verse 7. Now the morning stars, of course, were the angels, and they were here at the creation of the earth. So our departed friends are not angels' friends. Let's settle that right now. Zechariah 1:9 and 10 and onward gives a remarkable picture of the organization of heavenly beings in carrying forward God's word in the earth. Then said I, O my Lord, what are these? And the angel that talked with me said unto me, I will show thee what these be. And the man that stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, These are they whom the Lord has sent to walk to and fro through the earth, etc. So there it is, friends. The whole interest of the family of angels in heaven is the redemption and the salvation of man. You may be surprised at this, but God is taking better care of you than you realize. God has multiple millions of good angels in heaven, angels who excel in strength, and who are of kindly intent toward the people of earth. Psalms 34:7 says, The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Now you'd be surprised if you only knew how many times you had been delivered from dangers, both spiritual and physical. I can think of several times when my guardian angel saved me from death. That's pretty wonderful, isn't it? That God would take so much interest in us that he would commission an angel to come from heaven to this earth to look out for us. When Peter was in prison, God sent his angel to bring him out. The angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought him forth, the Bible says. Now the Lord did this more than one time. There was a time when the church was praying for Peter, and God sent his angel and woke Peter up, who was sleeping between two guards. In fact, he was chained to each guard, and the angel caused those shackles to fall off. He told Peter to put his shoes on and his coat. And then the angel and Peter walked out of that prison, the doors and gates opening up before them. And when they reached the street, the angel left Peter. And Peter made his way to the house where the church was praying for his release. Now this was a wonderful deliverance, friends, especially for Peter, for Herod planned to kill him the next day. When Daniel was thrown in the lion's den, he said, My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths that they have not hurt me. Daniel 6:22. So you can see that angels have performed many services to men during the history of this sinful world. When Jesus was here, they often ministered to him. Matthew 4:11 says, Behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Luke 22:43 tells us, And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. You remember that was during his terrible ordeal in the Garden of Gethsemane. All right, let's ask a question. Now, how many angels are there in heaven? Just two or three or more? Well, there are so many that we don't know how many, but millions upon millions of them. Revelation 5:11 gives us some little idea. I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Now listen, 10,000 times 10,000 would be 100 million. And besides that, there are thousands of thousands, so you can just about put that down as an uncountable multitude. And since the entrance of the sin problem into this earth, their work and their job has been to minister to those who are the heirs of salvation. Hebrews 1:14 tells us, Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who shall be heirs of salvation? All right, now I'm sure you reckon yourself to be an heir of salvation. And if you are, you have a protecting angel with you. But be sure you live according to the standard of God's word, and you won't grieve them away. Be sure you don't go where your angel won't want to go with you. Then I read to you in Matthew 18:10, Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Now here Jesus plainly states that every little child has a guardian angel who is his representative before God. In Genesis 48:16, The angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Now those are the words of Jacob. He was growing old, And when he was blessing his children, he referred, quote, to the angel which redeemed me from all evil. So his guardian angel had protected him. And now he left his children in the care of those guardian angels. I love this Bible picture of angels as men of might and power. In Psalm 103, verse 20, it says, "Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word." Now this portrays the angels not just as someone that protects the children, but as powerful beings that excel in strength. If there's a controversy with an opposing power, the angels will excel. They'll win out. The angels of the Lord are never equaled as long as we're obedient to God's word. But as soon as we stop keeping God's commandments, we're on Satan's ground then and under his power. The angels' power to protect us is gone. Satan's evil angels can never conquer an angel of the Lord. Now, Daniel was placed in that den, you remember, with hungry lions. They turned the lions in, and they didn't even taste of Daniel. The next day, Daniel said the Lord had sent his angel to close the mouths of the lions. A modern Hebrew scholar says, that may be, but they were probably old lions and had lost all their teeth. Listen, how people will do anything and argue any way to get around the inspiration of God's word. But if the scoffing scholar would go to the Bible, he'd find that the next day they threw in the man who had accused Daniel, and you find they didn't have any trouble with that man or with those men, and their teeth were very, very well developed that day. Oh, today God is just as willing to deliver us from dangers as he was back there. When you hear people arguing that this world is so small in comparison with the rest of God's universe, that how could God care about the individual needs of our little lives, you just remind them that God has given every individual an angel to watch over them all the time. And that angel lives your life with you. You're his charge, and he cares for you, and his whole desire is that you might be an heir of salvation, that you might accept the sacrifice that Jesus was willing to make for you. I find great comfort in Revelation 12, verse 4, which shows that there are twice as many of the Lord's angels as there are of Satan's. The odds are 2-1 for you in your struggle against Satan and his tempting angels. Well, some say the idea of angels is all right, but it could be just a little bit more real. Well, you know, just because we don't see angels doesn't mean that they're not out there. In fact, Elisha, you remember, prayed that the Lord would open the eyes of his servant so that he could see those protecting phalanxes of angels all around them. And when his eyes were opened, it says he looked and he saw those chariots of fire everywhere and the angels of God surrounding them with protecting might and power. The fact is that the room where you are right now is full of angels. It's an actual fact that angels are by our sides. And if our eyes could be opened, we would see them and know that even though we can't see them, they're very real and they're present with us all the time. By the way, also give the call letters of the station that you're listening to right now. That address again is Amazing Facts, Box 680, Frederick, Maryland, zip code 21701. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.